right, Philippians chapter 4, continuing our series on the thought life. And boy, it is good to get our mind on some of these things and off of what's going on in the world. Amen. It really is. And if you and I dwell on just the things that are going on in the world, we will become depressed, we'll become discouraged, we will be rendered useless and ineffective for the cause of Jesus Christ, just like the devil wants. And so the battlegrounds in our minds, the battlegrounds in our hearts, as we've seen as we began this series, and looking here at Philippians chapter 4, we're going to get the next thing that we ought to be thinking about tonight. But it says in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. What's that word? Always. That's hard to do, isn't it? Yeah, but it ought to be done. Hey, it doesn't matter what happens to you and I, God's still good. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, just in case somebody questioned God, he had to say it again. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And I can't wait to see him. How about you? Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And let's pray tonight and ask God as we start to go into the message, ask him to help our hearts. All right, Father, we love you. Thank you for the nights you've given us to be together. Lord, thank you for all these folks that have assembled at Spring City Baptist Church. Lord, they could be anywhere else tonight, but they've chose to be here, and we praise you for that. Pray this would be a profitable time to each person that's gathered together. Lord, help our hearts and minds to be focused upon you. Lord, there's so much in this world that would gain our attention and compete for our attention and our affections. And I pray we put all those things out of our mind tonight. Focus upon your word. And Lord, help us to think on the things that are just. And Lord, it's been a blessing in my heart to study this out. I pray you'd help me to give it out to your people tonight in a way that makes sense, or make a way that's understandable and effectual in their lives. Pray that I would have the unction from on high, and that my words would be acceptable in your sight, and that these words would fall upon receptive hearts. Lord, we love you, and thank you for being such a good God to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so two things that we've seen so far: whatsoever things are true, verse 8, and whatsoever things are honest. And there's been two consistencies in those messages. We know that the Scriptures are true, amen, and the Savior's true. We know the Scriptures are honest, and the Savior's honest. And last time we were together, it was last Wednesday night, we looked at that fact that the Scriptures are honest, the Savior's honest, and the saints ought to be honest. Amen. And thinking on things that are honest doesn't always mean that we think about unicorns and rainbows and flowery, you know, candy canes and things that just make us smile. There's some things that are honest that are uncomfortable to think about. But we have to be honest. Amen. We ought to think about the things that are honest. And so tonight we're just coming to the next verse, or the next word there in the verse. It says, whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are just. As you can imagine, tonight I've got a 3-point outline. It all begins with S. It's the Scriptures, the Savior, and the saints. You'll get the pattern before this is over with. But nonetheless, to be just, most of us would think about this. If I ask you to define the word just, most of us would give the definition in relation to salvation, and rightly so, just being righteous or innocent. Okay? And we'll talk about salvation tonight. And I'm saved. How about you? If you're saved tonight like I am, we are just. We are justified. We've been given justification. You can say it however you want to say it, but we ought to thank God for that. And you better think about it. That's a good thing to think about. So it means righteous, or declared righteous or innocent in regards to our salvation. But here's the definition that I think really want to focus on tonight. Just means this. It means orderly. You know, God's an orderly God. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, let all things be done decently and in order. You know, the prophecies of the Bible are orderly. The future prophecies that we studied, rightly dividing those prophetic events that still have to happen, there's a definite order to those and they won't get out of order. You know that star lining up there last night over Jupiter and Saturn, whatever it was? You know, God put that thing in order. We say, what's it mean? Who knows? It means Saturn and Jupiter lined up. 2020 is a weird year. Who knows what it means? But all I'm saying is this, we serve and we have an orderly God, and He's a just God. And so when we think about orderly, or we can think about it this way, the word just means influenced by a high regard to the laws of God. I like that one. Influenced by a high regard to the laws of God. That means a just person thinks more of God's laws than their opinions. And so then when we start to think about, you know, Noah was a just man, right? Lot was a just man. Those men had high regard for God's laws, right? Or we can think about it this way. The word just simply means this, conformed to truth. All those definitions are good. All those fit. Now, we're talking about thinking on these things. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I told you the scriptures are just, and they are. And what do the scriptures contain? Truth, the laws of God, the hope of mankind. You can lay all those things out there, and that's accurate. Instead of thinking about what the Wall Street Journal said, we ought to think about what Paul said. Instead of worrying about what Fox News opinion is today, we ought to worry about what James had to say. Right? Just some of those things that we can throw out there that are very simple. Romans chapter 7, verse 7, the Bible says this. Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. And by the way, that's why God gave the laws to show man his shortcoming. Amen. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, now watch this, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. Why is it that we just have that attitude of somebody says, don't touch that, we just have to touch it? Right? Don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. You got all these other trees. Yeah, but I just, you know, that one, look at it. Oh, it's so pretty, look at it. What is it about us that causes us to do that? Paul here, he said, the sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Now verse 12, look at this. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and what? Just. So obviously the scriptures tonight are just. They're righteous. They're orderly. They're God's truth. They're God's laws. And Paul said there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem's with me. There's nothing wrong with the law of God. Listen, our country today and our world today is doing everything they can to write God's laws out of society. Can I just help you a little bit tonight? God's laws aren't the problem. Sinful man's the problem. God's laws aren't the issue. The heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And God knows it. That's why He gave us the law. And so in here, Paul's talking about this law that slew him, that showed him he was a sinner before God and that he needed to be saved. This law that's holy and the commandment's holy and it's good. But he said it's also just. So there's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with you and I. Verse 13, was that then which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, watch, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become what? Exceeding sinful. I've got to preach Bible conference next week on where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Before grace can abound, sin's got to abound. And before sin will abound, we have to understand how much we've broken God's law. 14, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You know what would be worth spending some time thinking about? God's laws and God's commandments. I'll bet if you and I thought about them more, we might obey them more. You think? Sorry, that was a pun. Y'all can laugh. Nothing wrong with the law. The law's holy. The law's good. The commandments of God are holy. The commandments of God are good, and they're just. And so when the world and the Supreme Court decides that they're going to go against God's laws, you and I need to think about God's laws. When the Supreme Court decides that it's okay for something to go against the Word of God, whatever it is, there's millions of different laws out there now that they've done that with. You and I ought to be concerned with, am I keeping God's law? Okay, fine, the country says it's legal to drink alcohol. What did God say about it? The country says it's fine for men to marry men and women to marry men, women to marry women. But what did God say about it? The world says it's okay to not go to church, but what did God say about it? See the difference? Isaiah 5:20, we know what was going on there. The world is calling God's laws evil and man's laws good. That was a day when the children of Israel said that God's laws were not right, that God's laws were unjust and unfair and unholy and unrighteous, and that man's laws were good and righteous and holy. But we know, right? We know whose commandments are better than man's commandments. We know whose laws are better than man's laws. It's God's. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. So the scriptures are just tonight. The Savior now is just. Look at some of this in the Old Testament. And then we'll go to the New Testament. Deuteronomy 31, look here in verse 30. This is a song of Moses. Deuteronomy 31, verse 30. Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel all the words of this song until they were ended. Chapter 32, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Those are some beautiful words. 4. He is the capital R rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Look at verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Well, you start thinking about how just God is and how unjust man is. That contrast gets wider and wider the more you think about it, doesn't it? And the more you think about the laws of God and the commandments of God being just and holy and how wicked man's laws are and how wicked man's commandments are, you start to see that contrast growing more and more every day. And God said, you know, it'd be a lot better off if there'd be any praise, if there'd be any virtue. Think on the things of God that are just. It'll do us much better than to worry about what the world's doing. Amen. Well, I won't make you turn, but Zephaniah chapter 3 says, the just Lord, he will do no iniquity. Isn't that amazing? Zechariah, chapter 9, verse 9, in prophesying about Jesus Christ coming into Jerusalem, riding on the foal of an ass, as it says there in Zechariah 9, says, thy king cometh, and he is just. Look over it. You don't have to look there. Go to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, as you're going to Acts 3, I'll tell you about Matthew chapter 27, where Jesus is on trial. You know, it's an amazing thing that a Gentile leader, go to Acts 3, a Gentile leader and his wife would both call Jesus Christ just, and the nation of Israel said, away with that man, crucify him. And the world today is no different. Some folks may realize and recognize that Jesus is just, that he's righteous, that he's holy, that he's orderly. But they'd rather have somebody else ruling their life. Some Christians would quickly agree to the pastor and the preaching and the Bible saying that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and he deserves all that we have. And we would say, amen, preacher, that's right. And then in our lives and in our heart, we would say, yeah, but I just don't really want that. Acts chapter 3, verse 14. Well, I'll tell you what, pick up verse 12, Acts 3, verse 12. The Bible says, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the capital J, just, that's Jesus. You delivered denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. There's a great alliterated message right there, that they denied Jesus, they denied the Holy One, and they desired a murderer. You know, the world does that today. The world denies the Holy One, the just Jesus Christ, and they desire somebody else to rule their life. And back in 1 Samuel 8, when the children of Israel said, Lord, we don't want you to be our king. We want to have a king like all the other nations so we can be cool like all the kids on the block. And Samuel said, Lord, I don't want to do that. And God said, no, Samuel, said, go ahead and give it to him, but protest solemnly, Samuel. Tell them what kind of king they're going to have. You know what Saul was not? He wasn't just. You know what Saul never did? Everything they wanted their king to do. He never went out and fought their battles. He never blessed them. He was a blight upon that nation. And God said, you want somebody other than me to rule you as your king? Okay, there you go. You know, that ought to scare America to death tonight. It ought to scare Christians to death tonight to say, you know, I know what the Bible says, but I'd just rather live my life according to these principles. I know what the Bible says tonight, but you know, Dr. Phil, he kind of makes me feel fuzzy inside, and I kind of like what he says versus what Jesus has to say. These may be extreme examples, but they're not far off. They denied the Holy One and they desired a murderer. Acts chapter 7. We'll do these quickly. Acts chapter 7. Stephen here is full of the Holy Ghost and preaching a humdinger of a message, as we might call it. He says, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, that's Jesus Christ, of whom ye have now been the betrayers and murderers. He was just, Acts 22. The world didn't want him. He was righteous and holy, and the world said, no, thank you. Acts chapter 22. So Peter called Jesus the just. Stephen called him the just one. Acts 22 verse 14. The Bible says, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. This is Ananias talking to Paul now. That thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, capital letters, Jesus Christ, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Now, Revelation 5 and then 1 Peter 3. What are you showing us tonight, preacher? I'm showing you that men who are full of the Holy Ghost, men who loved God, men who tried to follow in the steps of Jesus Christ, called him the just one. And they obviously thought about him. He obviously had a place of prominence in their lives, in their heart, and in their minds. You know, it's sad that we've got a generation in America today that could tell you more about LeBron James's basketball stats than about what Jesus did on the cross. It's sad today you can go into public schools, and well, you could until this year, but and talk to kids that never heard the name Jesus unless it was a cuss word. You know, we live in a bubble a lot of times, church, and we don't realize what the real world's like. It's a desert out there. It's a cold, dark place. And if you've got a Bible and you read your Bible every day and you come to church when the doors are open, it will amaze you and shock you what the rest of the world's doing. It will. And so to think on the things that are just, that means we ought to think about Jesus more than we think about anybody else. You want peace in your life? Think about Jesus. You want joy in your life? Think about Jesus. You want happiness and contentment? Think about the laws and the scriptures of God that are just. That'll beat Dr. Phil any day. Revelation 15, verse 1, the Bible says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways. Thou, who is that? King of saints. Who's that? That's Jesus Christ. And those saints in heaven sitting there singing before the throne. Look, there's no lie going on in heaven. There's no false news or fake news going on in heaven. Right? Everything is said up there is true and righteous and holy, and they're saying, Lord Jesus, you're the King of saints, and your ways are just and true. Amen. 1 Peter 3. You say, well, you know, Pastor, I mean, that's all fine, well, and good, but, you know, I just can't really wrap my head around what all that means. Okay, well, try this one on. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Hard to convince American Christians of that, but it's the case. God said it might just be better for you if you suffer than if you don't. He said it might just be better for you if you try to do something for me and it hurts you or it hurts your family and you suffer than it would be if you just didn't do those things. He also goes on to say, verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Now look what it says. The just for who? So Peter is calling Jesus the just here. And it says that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now I ask you tonight, I'll ask you again, if you're saved, say amen. Amen. You know what's happened? The just one has laid down his life and died the death that all of you and I as unjust people deserved. Think about that one. The one who was holy, the one who was righteous, the one who was pure, the one who was perfect, the one who conformed perfectly to the laws of God, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Laid down his life voluntarily on the cross for people who hated his guts. For people who sat there and said, yeah, we haven't seen him do any sins, but we'd rather have Barabbas. I mean, he's a murderer. We'd rather have him. And Jesus, as he hung on the cross, the just for the unjust, uttered those words that we can hardly fathom in our minds, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. That's worth thinking about. I doubt anybody's going to have a bad 2 days, but let's say on Saturday you get some bad news, or you go back to work on Monday, and it's a super Monday, and the wheels fall off of everything. And you just get so beat down and tired and disgusted and sick of all the stuff that goes on in this world. If you're saved, you know what you can do? You can take a time out and you can sit down and you can just think, boy, Jesus died for me. Amen. And if that don't lift your spirit's broken. Amen. Christ suffered the just for the unjust. Church, that's worth thinking about. Not only did he die for you and I that are unjust, the Bible says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That means Jesus Christ died for all those people out there today that are cussing his name. All those people out there today that are working to undo the laws and the principles and the foundations of godliness in this country, Jesus Christ died for them just like he died for you and I. That's worth thinking about. That's that word, hygeion. Yeah, remember that? I went back and studied that a little bit more. Actually, it's a little bit more appropriate definition. It's a pause in a musical score for the purpose of meditation. About that. You ever heard the phrase, silence speaks volumes? Somebody's playing along and all that melody's going, all of a sudden they stop. That'll get your attention, won't it? And sometimes in really good composing, I guess, for music, they would stop and let you think about what was just sung, or they'd stop and let you think about what was just played. Hygeion. Well, not only should we think about the Scriptures and the Savior, but we ought to think about ourselves tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and this goes right along with 1 Peter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it is worth thinking about what Jesus Christ did for us. And if you've been saved tonight, if you've repented of your sins, and you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then this is you. And I'm telling you, this is worth thinking about. I know Paul said to forget those things which are behind. I understand all that. Reach forward, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I understand all that. And I know that you can't sit there and dwell in the guilt of what you've done in the past, especially if you're saved, because if you're saved, those sins are as far as east is from west. But it doesn't hurt every now and again to just let the Lord remind us where we came from. Remind me, right? We sing that song, remind me, dear Lord. I can't remember the words. I just remember that. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. That wasn't the pause to think about in that song. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, the Bible says this, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And if we were all just honest tonight, the reality is probably every one of those sins has been committed in this crowd. That's scary to think, isn't it? But it goes on to say this. Verse 11, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are, what's the word? Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord for that. That's worth thinking about. Life gets you down. Just sit there and think, you know what? Next time I don't take a breath, I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you've done if you're saved, right? All those sins are gone. Is that what the Bible says? Brother Adam thinks that. Does anybody else think that? That's what the Bible says. It says they're washed as white as blood. The Lord said, I'll remember them no more. You ask me why I'm happy, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And that's a good song, amen. You got to get a deep breath to sing that song. That's a good song. Such were some of you. We won't go through that list again, but I'm telling you, that is an embarrassing, despicable list. And God said, if you're saved, you've been justified. I've declared you righteous. That's worth thinking about. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Got ahead of myself. I believe I have this right, that the word just and all of its different variants, justified, justification, all those things, show up more in Romans chapter 3 than any other chapter in the Bible. And that would make sense. Romans 3, look at verse 19. Whatsoever things are just. Are you just tonight? It's worth thinking about how you got there. Amen. Romans 3, verse 19, the Bible says this, "Now we know that what things soever, the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." There is the purpose of the law. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified." And what it cost you and I? Freely, right? "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." What a blessing. You justified tonight? Did you get there by your own works? You justified tonight? Did you do it by keeping the law? If you're justified tonight, that Bible told you and I, we are justified by five-letter word, F-A-I-T-H, faith. That's worth thinking about. Romans chapter 5. You're going to see that you're going to see a pattern here. Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore being justified by works." Nope. "Therefore being justified by communion." Nope. "Therefore being justified by faith." Y'all need to participate better. "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now," what's the word? "Justified by his blood." Look at this. "We shall be saved from wrath through him." That's worth thinking about. You ever just sit back and think, what do we really deserve? That's scary, isn't it? And to think that we're going to miss the wrath of God because we're saved and we're justified and we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Guys, that's worth thinking about. Who cares what the stock market does tomorrow? You're going up when you die. Some of you get that later. Justified. Is it not an amazing thing that you and I are declared righteous in the sight of God? I mean, it almost makes you wonder, does God really know who we are? And the answer to that is, He sure does. But I'm glad God's honest, I'm glad God's true, and I'm glad God's just, and He's no respecter of persons, because He says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Want to be declared righteous tonight? If you've never been saved, call on the name of the Lord, you'll be declared righteous. You say, "Pastor, you don't know what I've done tonight." Doesn't matter. You don't know what I've done. And it's all under the blood if you're saved tonight. What a blessing. That's worth thinking about. Galatians 3:24 says, "The law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Amen. So are you justified by faith tonight? Hope so. Romans 1. It's fun studying these messages out, and the Lord shows you a pattern sometimes of things that you've never seen before. I've quoted this verse probably over 100 times since I've been preaching. And I never realized that it occurred four more times in the Bible, or three more times in the Bible, four times altogether. Romans 1, verse 17, the Bible says this, or verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, who shall live by faith? The just." Are you saved by faith tonight? Are you justified by faith tonight? Are you living by faith tonight? Oh, that was better than I thought it would be. All right, good. Amen. Hope so. It says there, verse 18. I'm sorry, verse 17. It says, "Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." And we've talked about this before, about how God brings us along step by step on our Christian life. And it says, "The just shall live by faith." In another place, the Bible says we walk by faith and not by... And Proverbs 3 warns us against trusting in our own righteousness and our own understanding. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." That's how the just are to be living. Amen? It's worth thinking about. When's the last time you thought, you sat down for 10 minutes and thought, "Am I living by faith?" That's kind of hard to do, isn't it? Because you know what we'll find? We'll find that we're not usually living by faith. That we don't go out and say, "God, please, please, Lord, let this car start this morning." No, we just expect it to start. And while we may sit down and say the blessing over our food, and I hope you do that, everywhere and every time, but the reality is, we just expect that food to be there. There may come a day in America very soon where that food is not just there when we want it to be. But I think if we sat down and we thought about our lives, we meditated about, how am I living by faith? Maybe you could do that over the next couple of days. Just sit down and ask God to show you where in your life you're living by faith and where He'd like you to take another step of faith. That's worth thinking about. If you're just tonight, if you've been justified by faith, we ought to be walking by faith. Those two things go hand in hand. That also occurs, that phrase also occurs in Galatians 3:11, Hebrews 10:38, and Habakkuk 2:4, where the Lord said, slight variation, but He said, "The just shall live by his faith." That right there would be a great verse. If we ever get back out to knocking on doors, every door knocker out of the church ought to memorize Habakkuk 2:4. Because when you ask somebody, if you die today, where would you go? Go to heaven. How do you know that? Well, you know, my daddy was a preacher. No, the just shall live by his faith, not somebody else's faith. Okay, amen. So practically tonight, how orderly is our life? How influenced by the laws of God is our life? How conformed to the truth of the Word of God is our life? In other words, how just is our life? And I'll promise you this, it will take faith for you and I to live a just life, especially in a world like Isaiah 5:20. Where they call good evil and evil good. Because if you and I live according to the laws of God, if you and I live orderly, if you and I live conformed to the truth of God's Word, it's going to rub the wrong way in this world. We will not be going with the flow. We will be walking the straight and narrow. And it's going to take some faith. It's going to take some faith when that person that you were really close to all of a sudden doesn't want to hang out with you anymore because you're conformed to the laws of God. It's going to take some faith when your boss comes to you and says, "Look, I'd really rather you not read your Bible at your lunch break. It's making the sodomite over here feel really uncomfortable." It's going to take some faith to stand and do what's right and live a conformed life to the truth of God's Word. It's going to take faith. And the just shall live by faith. See, I told you, these things aren't necessarily set up, these things that we're to be thinking about, they aren't necessarily set up to make us feel warm and fuzzy inside. They're set up to make us think on them so that we live a life that pleases God. Therefore, you and I must daily consider if our life is true, if our life is honest, and if our life is just. I'm not going to take the time tonight. I'm going to end early. Merry Christmas. But just in the book of Proverbs, all right? How many of you, I hesitate to ask this, how many of you have finished your Bible reading for the year and you're just kind of floundering around somewhere? Okay. Here's, what's the day? The 23rd? Here's 8 days worth of study. You ready? Here are the things in Proverbs that are just. Ready? We have the habitation of the just. You have the path of the just. You have the teaching to just men. You have the blessings of the just. You have the tongue of the just. The mouth of the just. The knowledge of the just. The deliverance of the just. That's something worth it, isn't it? You have the wealth of the just. I'd like to be a millionaire. Live for God. I won't have it down here. That's right. You'll have it somewhere. The integrity of the just. The joy of the just. The restoration of the just. And the focus of the just. That'd be plenty to study on from now to 2021, wouldn't it? I'll tell you what. You know what all that is? That is practical, daily living in the realm of justification. It's worth thinking about. So may God help you and I to think on the things that are just. Amen.